Play fake. Wilson drops the throw. Looking. Fires it deep downfield. Good coverage in the secondary, and the ball is intercepted. The ball is picked off in the back of the end zone by Jalen Ramsey. He's rushed out of there again. Scrambles to his right. Pump fake. Now throws well downfield. He's got a man, and that ball is intercepted. A.J. Boye made up ground and picked it off. Dropping his Blake. Fires to the right corner of the end zone. Got a man out there. Caught. Touchdown. In the right corner in the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. D.D. Westbrook. Two right, one left. Shotgun. Play fake. Bortles drops. Steps up. Fires deep down the middle of the field. Got a receiver out there. Keelan Cole with the catch. Inside the 30, the 20, the 15. Inside the 5. Keelan Cole. Touchdown. How's that for an answer? 75-yard touchdown pass from Blake Bortles to Keelan Cole. They give to Fournette running to the left side. Leonard Fournette into the end zone. Touchdown. That was easy. A 1-yard touchdown run by Leonard Fournette to extend the lead. Dropping is Wilson again. Looking. Lots of time. Fires it deep downfield. He's got Baldwin out there, but it's going to be picked off by A.J. Boye. A.J. picked it off. He was covering Baldwin. And A.J. Boye, another pick for that Jags terrific secondary. Victory formation for Jacksonville. Inside of a minute to play. Much of this crowd is still here. Blake will take a knee, and the clock will continue to turn.
Watch out. Here we go. Sheldon Richardson dove at the knee.
Wow.
And now Michael Bennett is going at it with, I believe,
he went at Brandon Linder.
People aren't used to getting beat like that by the Jaguars, you know, and I think there's no reason to take anything from anybody. You know, we just beat the crap out of you for 60 minutes. You know, I think obviously you got to be smart and understand the situation and what's going on and not do anything stupid. But, you know, I think this team definitely plays with a little bit of an edge.
They're a great team. Competitively, you see towards the end of the game, and nobody likes losing. But at the end of the day, you know, that's my teammate. I'm not going to let nobody try to bully us. You know, I don't care who you are, you know. Like I said, we practice with each other. Like I said, I told these guys I would never let anything happen to them. Like I said, these are my brothers, and just protecting them. It's not the old Jaguars team. They're not pushovers, so I mean, we're going to fight back.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Jeff Lagerman.
Wait, Lagerman, it's Monday. How can that possibly be?
That opening's got me hot, man.
Only thing we're missing is Blake running a little smack. Tyler, this is unprecedented. Can we go to a soundbite right away? Can we go to Blake Bortles, cut number one on the cut sheet today, and just fire that bad boy up if you got it?
People aren't used to getting beat like that by the Jaguars, you know, and I think there's no reason to take anything from anybody. You know, we just beat the crap out of you for 60 minutes. You know, I think obviously you got to be smart and understand the situation and what's going on and not do anything stupid. But, you know, I think this team definitely plays with a little bit of an edge.
Love it. Just beat the crap out of them for 60 minutes, Logs. Oh, my gosh. Are they feeling it right now?
Hey, on offense, they did.
They really did, right?
Really, it was really a great performance.
Beat the crap out of them defensively for 30 minutes.
Well, you know what? It started up front. I mean, you know, to me, the game balls go to the offensive line. You know, I got in here at 7 o'clock to watch the tape so I could know what I'm talking about here. And I will say that, you know, we're going to show tonight on Jaguars All Access a couple of the big plays in the game. You know, the big plays to Didi, the big play to Keelan Cole. But the play that I'm starting it out with is the only snap that Blake Bortles was hit in the pocket. One time. Fifth offensive play of the game. There was another one that was late, and he took a little push, but he wouldn't have fallen down, but there was an offensive lineman's leg
right
there. First of all, it should have been a late hit. And second of all, he wouldn't have fell down if an offensive lineman's leg wasn't right there and kind of just trips him up and he falls over it. He got hit one time against the famed Seahawks defense. So, yeah, I would say that was 60 minutes of beatdown. Yeah.
No doubt, man. And not only outstanding, near perfect pass protection, but over 150 legit rushing yards.
Legit.
Right? As Fred Taylor kind of put it, you know, last night in the post game, you know, you get a fake punt thrown in here, you get Blake running for 40 here and there, and that's fine. We'll take all of that, but it does skew the, quote, rushing stats a little bit. Nice to see Leonard Fournette go over 100 yards. Nice to see, Tony, Leonard Fournette finish the game when you're thinking, you know what, maybe he picks up five. Do you try the long field goal to make it a two-score game? Nah, forget it. No, let's just pick up the first down.
We're just going to hand it off to our guy, and he's going to go win the game for us. And, I mean, what a big moment for that offense. For a team that's been struggling to run the ball for the last month, Jeff, and to basically put it on the back of those guys, the offensive line that have played so well in that situation. And you know the conversation in the huddle is, look, we get a first down, this thing is over.
Yeah, what, on third and 11.
Right.
Right.
I mean, chances of making that, not very strong. But, you know, and that's going to be the other feature that I will do on another Jaguars television show this week, the Mic'd Up. Because, to me, you know, if you look at the four games prior, not looking at the Seattle game, you know, Fournette averaged under 3 yards a carry. It was like, and I wrote it down here, 2.93 yards per carry. The first six games of the year, he was 4.58. You know, and Fred was talking about, okay, legit rushing yards because you're not including Blake as part of the big powerhouse running back, you know, in this game. That was the biggest thing of the game. You know, we talked about before the game about how and I'd mentioned that the powerful nature of balance with an offense and the importance of having balance in this game against the Seattle Seahawks. And they had it. You know, I mean, you talk about that third and 11 run. I mean, that was a great run. Great blocking. H.A. Can doing a great job of getting around up front to kick out the backer just to create just enough of a crease. Tommy Bohannon. But then, you know, go back to that second and 10 where they were backed up on the 1 yard line where Fournette breaks it out.
Right.
I mean, great blocking on that play. Go to the play after Leonard got called for the hold on the screen, which was a BS call, by the way. And it's a second and 10 or a second and 15, and Fournette rips it for a first down. I mean, those three plays in the game, to me, made a statement. This running game is back. And a big credit to the offensive line and a big credit to Patrick Omame, who got back into the lineup. And I'm going to tell you now, he played his rear end off.
The Patrick Omame v. Chris Reed competition has been decided,
it
looks
like. I think Patrick Omame has cemented the job back to himself. And you know, look, I'm not saying that he was the reason why they ran. I mean, look, they played great across the board. I mean, Brandon Linder played a very good game. Parnell upped his game from last week where he looked like he was rusty. A.J. Can played well. And if you looked at the pocket, you saw a lot of times to where the outside rushers were kind of coming in and Blake would just step up. How many times did he ever step up and have anybody to step up into? Nothing.
Right.
I mean, the three interior guys, I mean, played as good of a game as they have played here in a long time. I'm not talking about this year. In a long time.
And you talk about those Fournette runs that you highlighted there. How about a tip of the cap to Chris Ivory? Because that 34-yard run in the first quarter flips the field position entirely.
Which they desperately needed because they were fighting the field position battle and losing it early in the game.
Right, and then you get the 3 points, and you know, even just the field goal, you feel, okay, you know what, we're going to play from ahead, and they shut out Seattle, obviously, the rest of the first half. Jeff, I called it the biggest play of Blake Bortles' career yesterday when he hit that 75-yard touchdown. Here is a Seattle team that, A, they get a what – you know, nobody got a good replay look at it. Had they, Doug Baldwin's 43-yard catch wouldn't have counted. He
juggled it.
The ball came loose as he went to the ground, completing the process of the catch. So that would have been incomplete. So they don't get the field goal, if that play's not complete. If they don't get the field goal, they're not kicking off to Corey Grant, who fumbles on the ensuing kickoff. So you're talking about maybe a 10-point swing, and boom, the Jags all of a sudden could be reeling. Nathaniel Hackett dials it up, and I mean, Blake Bortles hasn't thrown a better ball in his life than that. And right to the palm of Keelan Cole's hands in stride. And give credit to Keelan Cole for finishing that run, too, inside the 10-yard line.
I'll be highlighting that long pass to Keelan Cole tonight on Jaguars All Access because it's a great play design. It's something that the Jaguars have had in their arsenal in the past. It's something that last week the Philadelphia Eagles ran and had – success, and then they missed another opportunity on it in that ball game. So credit Nathaniel Hackett for going to something that, first of all, you have in your playbook, but then also knowing that this is the play that you can dial up. And it costs the Seahawks dearly, perfectly executed, and maybe the prettiest ball I've seen Blake throw yet in his career.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was the most important play of the season for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It was a turning point play to me in the game. We could talk a lot about it. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of superlatives for the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. There are not enough game balls to hand out for all the guys that chipped in a big way yesterday. But as we do every Monday on a Victory Monday, a Vaseo Victory Monday, we ask you, which three Jaguars are most deserving of game ball recognition for their performances yesterday in the victory over the Seattle Seahawks? Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Jeff Loggeman here with you. Phone lines are open to you throughout the next 2 hours at 904-641-1010. Let it off your chest, Jaguar fans. How good does it feel? We may be taking a call, Tony, from the Far East coming up here in just a few minutes. I'm excited about that. We haven't had a call from the People's Republic of China before, but it looks like that may be coming our way, so we'll enjoy that. Jeff Loggeman will be here with us breaking down the film as well. So anything Jaguar-related, bring it to the table at 641-1010. Hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at Jeff Loggeman. Of course, at Logs56, L-O-G-S-5-6, and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, 641-1010 on the phone lines and the text line driven by Duval Ford. We're ready to roll, man. I tell you, I wish we could do 10 hours today. That's just how good it feels for the Jags to be 9-4 and in first place all by their lonesome in the AFC South. This is Jaguars Today on a Vaseo Victory Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Victory formation for Jacksonville. Inside of a minute to play. Much of this crowd is still here. Blake will take a knee and the clock will continue to turn.
Watch out. Here we go. Sheldon Richardson dove at the knee.
Wow.
And now Michael Bennett is going at it with, I believe,
he went at
Brandon Linder.
All right, we got obviously some people want to weigh in on the way the end of the game situation worked out. I just got to read this one text. I just don't get it. I love how it's always the greatest game ever or the greatest Jag this ever. Y'all just weren't around or something in the late 90s. I don't know. Jeff, were you around in the late 90s when the Jags were playing?
I believe I was.
Oh, you were on the team, right? Oh. I've been covering them since 96, so I didn't cut. You're right. I did not cover them in 95.
Sure. And considering the comment was made, it's the greatest game for Blake.
For Blake Bortles.
Throw for Blake. What does that have to do with the team from 96 to 99?
The greatest play in Blake's career, not in Jaguar history. These wins are big, but it's just been a while. If they do the same thing next year, it won't be the greatest this or that. Like I said, it's been forever, but longtime fans remember the importance of games back when they mattered also.
So
what's your problem, man? Have some fun.
So do we. That's why this is fun.
Honestly.
We haven't been able to do this for a decade, so we're enjoying the moment.
If you got a problem with me enjoying Jaguar victories, if you think I should be some buttoned up, this is called Jaguars Today. It's not called Around the NFL. It's not called Equal Time to the Seahawks Today. Okay? So, yeah, we're going to talk about the Jaguars when they do well. Aren't you sick of the shows we've done for the last 3.5 years?
It's also not called Let's Keep It Even Keel because we don't want to get too high about the Jaguars playing well
right now. I don't have to worry about getting them ready to play Houston, Logs.
Nope.
You're getting too high, Mike.
I guess I'm too happy about the Jaguars winning. Whatever. Let's get a call in here real quick. Tony at the beach is going to lead us off, and then we're going to try to clear the decks, see if we can get our man Paul in Shanghai checking in. Go ahead, Tony. How are you?
Yeah, hey, good morning, guys. Just real quickly, Jeff, you said you watched the film this morning. What did happen with Michael Bennett rolling up on the leg? So I just want to hear a comment on it.
Well, this is kind of Greg Schiano-ish, I guess, because when he was in Tampa. And so Michael Bennett lines up on Brandon Linder, and he is in a four-point stance, and as soon as the ball moves, what he's doing is trying to dive to interrupt the snap, to try to cause a fumbled exchange. He's not diving at the knees, per se, but he's diving for the ball. And, of course, he does go into the legs of Brandon Linder. Brandon Linder was never at risk of really getting hurt on that play, but it's a Bush League play. And
I don't mind you trying to split the center and the guard. To me, when Bennett dives in, turns his back, and just fires his back at Linder, he's not trying to make a play. I thought he was trying to hurt him.
No, he didn't. He's going for the ball. So
I've watched the replay. I mean, there's a clear, you can see clearly he goes in there, turns his back, and hits Linder knees down.
What he's doing, Mike, is he's reaching for the ball, and as he's reaching for the ball, he's diving, and then the shoulders turn. I don't think the intent is to to inflict injury. The intent.
You and I can disagree on that.
Well, that's fine.
And that's fine.
I'm just telling you know, what I saw and what I've seen in the league, and that he's diving for the ball, and as he's diving for the ball to try to rake, basically interrupt the snap, the shoulders roll and he goes into the knees.
The reason I think it was more than that is because
it's just a bush league play.
As Linder starts to walk away, he's got his back turned to him. Bennett tackles him to the ground and jumps on top of him. On top,
well, what
is
what
a continuation.
After he goes into the shins of Linder, Linder crouches down and just keeps his weight on top of him. And then he tries to step over him to kind of to get away from, you know, the contact. And at that point, Michael Bennett did not like the fact that Linder was pushing down on him, which, you know, look, if you're going to do that kind of a play, that's going to happen. And so then at that point, then he grabs Linder's leg and tries to do a one-leg takedown MMA style. And then that's when everything kind of erupts.
All right, let's get out to, for the first time, I believe, out to Paul in China checking in. He tweeted us on the postgame show last night. Paul, good evening, I guess. Good night out there in China. It's 11:27 p.m. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing very well. How does a Jaguar fan find himself in Shanghai?
For work, of course. I had a ticket to the game, but unfortunately I could not make it. But my brother took it, so that's good. But
well, that's
yeah,
good. So are you a season ticket holder normally?
Oh, absolutely. My mom and I have had tickets since 95.
Okay, so you're not permanently stationed then over in China for work. Is it you're like on a business trip?
Oh,
is that the deal?
No. Yeah, business trip, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know, kind of bad timing on that. I already missed one a game earlier this year for I was in India. But, yeah, it was a bummer to miss such a good game. I was really, I mean, at least I got to watch it, though. I got a good stream, which I know is not really legal, but, you know, it was worth it.
We don't care what you do in China, Paul. Do whatever you like over in China. So is there much of a recognition of the National Football League in China that you've noticed?
I don't think so. I don't think it's really a thing here, honestly. I mean, they do sell the jerseys and stuff in like the fake markets and stuff, but it's more like for tourists and stuff. So I haven't really seen any Chinese people walking around with jerseys or anything.
Well, I just know, you know, it seems, at least from what we hear, that the NBA is pretty popular over there. At least individual players tend to be popular. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I was just curious about that. So when's the next time you'll be back in the States? Will you be back for the Houston game or a potential home playoff game?
So I will be back on the 22nd. So I'm missing Houston, unfortunately. But I think my mom is going to come visit for New Year's. So we'll watch the Titans game together. And then I have another trip planned that was supposed to be January 6th. And I'm like, if we have a playoff game, I'm not going then. So we pushed it back a couple of days. So just to be,
well,
just to be sure that I wouldn't miss a home playoff game. But
let me ask your opinion then, because as a guy who's watched the Jags since the very beginning, you know, how do you feel about this team? How exciting has 2017 been to you compared to some of the best seasons in their past?
Oh, it's insanely exciting. I mean, I'm loving it. It's a weird feeling being on top and having just like being in the top 10 of the power rankings. It's just an odd feeling. And I mean, the last time we had a home playoff game, I had just turned 10. So I mean, that gives you. So I'm turning 28 next month, so it's crazy. It's been a while.
Wow. Well, listen, man, happy early birthday. Hopefully the Jaguars will bring you a playoff victory or two to celebrate.
Yeah. Oh, I certainly hope so. And I will want to give a shout-out to my mom, Bonnie Sandler. It's her birthday today, actually.
Oh, well, happy birthday to your mom, Mrs. Sandler. So, hey, listen, man, we appreciate you. You tweeted us last night during the scoreboard show, and I selfishly asked you to call into Jaguars today so we could check China off the list, Tony. And now we have.
You did, yes.
Now we have. So, Paul, safe.
You did say please.
I understand. Hey, listen, get some sleep. I know you got to get up early. So safe travels, and we'll look forward to seeing you back here at EverBank when you get back for the playoffs.
Thanks, guys. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you checking in. There you go. From the Far East, Logs. That's pretty cool stuff. All right.
Long phone call.
It was. But, you know, for
maybe
him,
I
wonder what that cost him, because he called. I asked him to call 25 after the hour. And
did he call collect?
5 minutes ago. I'm thinking no. I did not offer that option to him. In terms of Blake Bortles, though, Jeff, we've said it several times this season. That's the best he's played. That's the best game he's had. Considering the circumstances and the opponent, is that the best game he's had this season?
Well, I think it's his best win. I don't want to say it's the best he's ever played, but I really think that, you know, look, when you play a home game in December against a really good team that has had a lot of success and you win – as a quarterback, yeah, his best win ever, best performance. Boy, it's pretty close now. I mean, he's had some really solid games this year. The deep balls that he threw, particularly to Keelan Cole, would make you think that it is. But, you know, he's had a couple other games this year where his deep ball touches were fantastic as well. But I would agree in this, the best win he's ever had because of the circumstances, the time of year, and the quality of the opponent.
Right now, it's a pretty dangerous football team, and maybe the biggest danger is believing the press clippings. It seems like Doug Marrone has a pretty good grasp on that right now. As you heard him say in the postgame little celebratory speech, people are going to try to take you places we don't need to be. In other words, don't listen to Mike and Tony because they're going to try to tell you how great you are and that you're almost a lock to go 12-4 right now. Here's Doug Marrone, as a matter of fact, in the postgame locker room.
He said he's talked about this during the week. We prepared ourselves, worked our butts off. We knew we were going to win this game.
You know what I'm saying?
Right? That's what he said. Just another game, right? It's not a statement, nothing like that, okay? All right? People are going to try to take us to where we don't want to go, all right? Remember, first win of the fourth quarter, way to start the fourth quarter. All right, we got a division opponent next week.
Let's go win on three. Win on three. One, two, three.
Of course, Paul Posluszny breaking it down after that. First time he's locked up a winning season in his career, so congrats to him for that as well. But Jeff, is that – I mean, Doug Marrone seems to have done a really good job keeping these guys focused week to week, as evidenced by the fact they haven't lost two in a row.
I think he's done a fantastic job. I mean, can you look at any game this year to where you say this team wasn't ready, that they didn't play hard? I mean, to me, he's done, you know, and arguably should have some consideration for Coach of the Year in the National Football League for the job that he's done and the turnaround that he's been able to produce. You know, in the one game I think that he made a commentary that he didn't feel that the team was ready to go was Arizona, and I disagree with that. I thought they were ready to go in that game. I just think they didn't play well. I think there's a difference. You know, you go and you look at some of the games around the league that we saw yesterday, Cincinnati, how poorly they played, how poorly the Giants have played multiple times. There's never been a game that this team where you looked at it and you go, what the heck happened? There hasn't been that, you know, so kudos to him and the staff. I mean, the staff has got to get credit as well because I think that they all contribute to that in maintaining a focus, and especially the defensive side of the ball because, you know, week in and week out, this defense has played its rear end off. Now, this past game, they had a couple breakdowns, allowed some big plays, but to play at the level that they've done every game, I mean, it's tremendous.
Isn't that the sign of a good team as well, that when your best unit that you rely on to be the best in the league week in, week out, has a down week by their standard, and it's no big deal?
Yeah, well, I would say a down second half. You know,
okay.
The first half, I mean, wow.
But I understood. Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, when you look at the complete picture, you know, Russell Wilson hitting as many bombs as he did, and certainly they picked off Russell Wilson three times as well. Either way, I mean, it's special teams stepped up.
Big time.
Lambeau is Mr. Automatic these days, right? Yeah. Mickens with the huge return. Leonard Fournette. I mean, we talked about the offense. We'll continue to talk about him. You can get
complimentary football.
I mean, big time.
That's what it is, and that's what this game required, and they got it.
641-1010 on the phone lines and the text line, driven by Duval Ford. It's a Vaseo Victory Monday. I will head to break with this tweet from at CJ Knoll. My family's had season tickets since 95, and if you aren't excited about what they are doing this year, you deserve to be a Browns fan. So we'll end on that note. Coming back, more with Fat Tony and Jeff Logman. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I think the rule changed. I don't see the point. I think a lot of coaches hate that there was people jumping over and blocking the field goals, because those points are the, when people block those field goals, those are the turning points in a lot of games.
Yeah.
One point. Most of the NFL games are decided by a one point, unless you're playing the Jaguars or something. It's decided by 50, you know what I mean? So
came from nothing last year. We were basically a laughingstock last year. We took a personal. I'm not going to say no names, but people said that we could get beat by 50 points, but I'm not going to re-quote who said it. But we just showed them who was the better team today.
kudos to them. They never gave up. You know, in the NFL, you're going to get a lot of close games, man. They all come down to the wire. You're not going to win every game by 50 unless you're playing the Jaguars.
Don't worry, Unique Ngakoue and A.J. Boye. I'll name names. That was Michael Bennett in the spring. Oh, isn't that cute? Let's all poke fun at the Jaguars. How do you feel losing to the laughing stock? I guess that makes you the laughing stock's doormat. I don't know. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it.
Against the subpar quarterback.
Against it, right. Against it. That's Earl Thomas's line. Absolutely, it's frustrating to lose to a subpar quarterback. Well, he outplayed your quarterback, so I guess Blake Bortles is now the leading candidate for MVP in the league, right? That is hyperbole, by the way, for the one guy on the text line who is out of his mind that the Jaguars would get praise for when they play well. So. Just wanted to distinguish that.
I guarantee you that, you know, look, that statement by Michael Bennett was probably replayed at some point.
You think?
This past week.
You think? I mean, or was it just right fresh on the top of their minds?
I think it was replayed probably during the course of the week.
I'm betting you're right.
Look, if any coach worth his paycheck, he's going to make sure that kind of gets brought up again and probably showed.
Well, when you hear Blake Bortles say we kicked their ass basically for 60 minutes, mm-hmm. right? I mean, most quarterbacks don't come out. You know, it's like, hey, it was a good win, da 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 da. Obviously, there was the feeling of a little extra satisfaction.
Sure.
In beating a team that loves to run their yapper.
Yeah, my question is that if that's a subpar quarterback, then what defense are you? I'd probably call you a subpar defense.
Right.
Sounds fair.
Division two.
Sounds fair. Are there lot of teams?
When you get freaking that many points hung on you?
Right. Are there a lot of teams or organizations that are really bad and are kind of the butt end of jokes for a decade in the National Football League or any sport for that matter? And when they finally get to a point where they're starting to win again, they don't act like this? Like they don't take everything that you've said about them for the past 10 years and say, look, we're throwing it in your face now because we can. Who the heck wouldn't do that?
We were talking during the break. Look, when you're playing the bully, you know, which the Seahawks have been a good football team for a long time, and you're trying to get back and establish your football team, when you take on the bully, you got to take some shots, but you got to stand up and throw some of your own. And I thought this team did a great job of standing up. And I'm talking like stuff after the play, standing up for themselves without crossing the line, you know, and that's I thought that was big, you know, and I think this team has done a great job all year long. And Blake talked about how this team plays with edge. They do play with edge, but they're not crossing that line to where they're over the edge. And I think that's a credit to the players and also a credit to Doug Marrone and the staff and the organization for breeding that, because it just doesn't happen.
Quick backup on that from Leonard Fournette, and we'll go to the phone lines.
They're a great team, competitive. You see towards the end of the game, man, nobody likes losing. But at the end of the day, you know, that's my teammate. I'm not going to let nobody trying to bully us. You know, I don't care who you are. You know, like I said, we practice with each other. Like I said, I told these guys I would never let anything happen to them. Like I said, these are my brothers, and just protecting them. That's not the old Jaguars team. We're not pushovers, so I mean, we're going to fight back.
When Fournette went after Bennett, you know, at that play,
yeah.
the Bush League play, he went up to him, you know, but he didn't cross the line. He just gave a push, let him know, hey, that's not okay.
Right. No, trust me, the only thing I didn't want to see happen was a Jaguar player throw a punch, not because I thought it was necessarily uncalled for, but because I don't want any NFL repercussions coming down. I don't want guys getting suspended for future games.
You know, because it wasn't just that play, because, I mean, it was that play that Michael Bennett did, okay? Then the very next play you had Quentin Jefferson, okay, and he fires off. And then Patrick Omame, I thought, did a great job because he fires off into Patrick Omame and Brandon Linder. And Omame held his cool, and that's when Jefferson kind of threw a punch or a push to the helmet. That got Jefferson ejected. And then you even go to the very last play, because on the very last play, Jerron Reed fires off. I mean, all of these plays, the subsequent plays, the two plays that were after Michael Bennett did that, you could have had an over-the-top reaction by the Jaguars' offensive line. They kept their cool, but at the same token, they stood their ground.
All right, let's get to the phone line, 641-1010, see if we can knock out these next four here. Florin at the Beaches, you're next up on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, man.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
Good. I'm excited about the Jaguars. I've been in Jacksonville. I came in Jacksonville about 18 years ago, and I remember my first NFL game. A friend of mine took me. It was January, year 2000. I knew nothing about American football. I loved soccer. I came from Eastern Europe, from Romania, but I was introduced to the American football. That was my first ever NFL game, and it was amazing. It was a divisional playoff game. Miami came here. and we beat them 62-7.
Yeah, that's a pretty good first game for anybody. Might have spoiled you a little bit on that one, huh?
Yeah, that's true. But I love my Jags, and every year I've been there for them, and win or lose, it's been 10 years, you know, since we made the playoffs, and I cannot wait, you know, to go back in it again. And I remember, I want to ask you a question, Mike, please. Was it year 2004 or 05 when Jeff Fisher came here and the Titans, and they said they feel like they play in a home? Like, this is their home.
That was 99.
Yeah, that was right. That was 99. That was much earlier. 99 when he said that, that at the time, Alltel Stadium was like the second home field for the Titans. Yeah.
Yes. I remember that, and I hate him ever since. So
you and every other person who roots for the Jaguars, Florin, for that matter. Hey, well, listen, man, we're glad that you have assimilated to the National Football League style. I'm sure you still enjoy the other kind of football, but good to see the Jags back on top, at least in the division for now. Florin, thanks for the call this morning, man.
All right. Thanks.
All right, buddy. All right, let's head out to St. Augustine. Ronnie is up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Ronnie.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How about that win yesterday?
How about it? You know it.
That's
what's up?
That's my kind of football. I love watching the Jaguars finally look cocky and arrogant on that defensive side of the ball and beating the dog mess out of the Seagulls. I ain't calling them Seahawks. They're Seagulls because they were picking up our crumbles off of our table yesterday like a bunch of seagulls when you throw bread out of the ocean. But I also, and I haven't heard, I missed the beginning of the show, I love watching a healthy D.D. Westbrook. That is so nice to see him in that rotation because that catch that he made on that flare on the side, that was a huge catch. I believe it was there on the 50, and it was getting closer to the end of the game, but I believe it was on a big third down. But I love watching him on that Jags field, and I haven't heard nobody really talk about him that much.
Well, I mean, we've been on for 50 minutes. There are a lot of guys to get to. DeeDee Westbrook, Keelan Cole, Mark Heasley. The top three wide receivers, Jeff, I thought were outstanding.
Two drops in the game. You know, Shaughnessy had one. It was a hot throw by Blake.
And Mercedes.
And the other one, Mercedes, I don't know what happened on that one. It was perfectly on the money, and he jams a finger trying to catch the ball. But, I mean, DeeDee was – I thought he had one play that he could have been better on, and it was a back shoulder throw by Blake, and he didn't really fight back. He really could have gotten an interference call, and more importantly, probably could have made that catch. But other than that, I mean, that one play that he's talking about, the one that was along the boundary where he kind of just gives a little bit of a, I don't want to say a push.
It's pro push off.
It was a pro push.
He extends his arm.
Without extending the arm.
Right, you just nudge.
You know?
He did that a few times in the preseason, too.
That was a pro play now.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a pro play. And so, I mean, heck, that's nice to see out of a young wide receiver. I mean, Keelan Cole, I thought, did a really nice job. You know, and the Seahawks played him in a lot of man. You know, and look, if when you play man, I mean, you first of all, either you have a lot of confidence in your cornerbacks or you don't have a very strong belief in the opponent's receivers. And to give you an example, the Jaguars have arguably the best corner tandem in the National Football League, right? They didn't play hardly any zone because the game plan, they knew that Russell Wilson, if he's going to scramble and extend the play, cut playing man's tough. You know, so but
or they didn't play hardly any man.
Hardly any man,
right?
The Jaguars defense. But the Seahawks played a ton of man with a bunch of backups. You know, I mean, you've got, you know, you're missing your best corner, you're missing your safety, and you're playing a ton of man with a bunch of corner. I mean, to me, first of all, the route concepts that they ran were very good. They were man-beater routes, and the quarterback was on the money. And when you're going to have the combination of those two things, it's hard to defend that type of offense.
The reason A.J. Boye gets, I assume, a game ball from just about everybody, if you're really breaking it down to three guys, gave up a zero passer rating in coverage yesterday, two receptions on seven targets for a total of 8 yards, plus the two interceptions. He is leading the National Football League in passer rating allowed by such a wide margin, it is staggering. Okay, it's like when Barry Bonds was hitting, you know, 20 more home runs than the next best guy. He has given up a 26 passer rating of 26. The next best is William Jackson at 41.6. That is a massive gulf between those two. It's 41.6. Marshawn Lattimore, who everyone says is probably the leader for Defensive Rookie of the Year, is at 45.3. And then Jimmy Smith of the Ravens, who missed the game, unfortunately, last night, at 49.2. So
yeah, going into that game, A.J. Boye was given up 38.0.
Right.
And so he took it down 12 points.
A big notch. And he has been, in recent weeks, leading all cornerbacks in the National Football League in Pro Bowl voting, which actually gives me a little hope that Pro Bowl voting
is
people
legitimate.
Are paying attention,
yeah,
right? I mean, because he really deserves to be. As much as if I was drafting a team, I would take Ramsey first because I think there are things physically he can do that are rare at the cornerback position. But A.J. Boye is having a better year right now. That, look, they're both fantastic.
Well,
they're both headed to the Pro Bowl.
You can tell why A.J. Boye has great success, and I did a film thing on this, film room on this weeks ago. You can just tell that his footwork is never wasted. His anticipation is great. And the reason why, he is a student of the game. I don't think anybody from talking to the coaches, nobody studies more film than A.J. Boye. So when he sees something, in his mind, it's not for the first time because he's visualized it and seen it on tape 100 times during the course of the week.
All right, we got John in St. Mary's up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's it going?
Going very well. What's on your mind?
Okay, I just want to give a shout-out to one of the coaches I don't think we ever talk about, and that's Keenan McCardell for the work he's doing with those young wide receivers.
Well, his receivers gave him a shout-out. I know Dede Westbrook and Keelan Cole referenced him in their post-game quotes. Keenan is – you know, I always respected Keenan as a player and because, you know, I don't think Keenan was ever a great talent. But he always maximized every ounce of talent that he had because he was a student of the game. And he prepared and he ran great routes. He found openings in the zone. And players like that, the players that have to work and study and learn to become the best receiver, and he was one of the best receivers in the game when he played, he can pass off the knowledge that he learned as a player to the players of today, and it's still applicable. It's not like the game has changed for a wide receiver. In fact, it's gotten even a little bit easier because of some of the designs of the officiating now. But he's doing a great job with a very young wide receiving core. And he does deserve a lot of credit, as do the other coaches. I mean, heck, there's some other coaches that have done a great job as well.
And keep in mind, the Jags right now are playing with the guys who probably were projected to be their second, fourth, and fifth wide receivers this year. To me, it was going to be Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee as your top two. Allen Hurns is your solid number three. So your top two of your top three not around for the last stretch of games, and Allen Robinson obviously for the entirety of the season for the most part, with the exception of that one reception. All right, we got to take a timeout here. 641-1010. We'll continue to take your phone calls in hour number two. A quick look at this state in football and around the NFL will go as well with Jeff Loggeman and Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. It is a Paseo Victory Monday on Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this state football history presented by Foundation Professionals of Florida. On this date, December 11th, 1938, the New York Giants won an NFL championship. They knocked off the Green Bay Packers 23-17. Likewise, in this date in 1949, the Cleveland Browns beat San Francisco 21-7. It was the final All-American Football Conference championship game before those teams would join, or some of those teams at least, would join the National Football League.
Championship games on December 11th.
Yeah, right.
As opposed to February.
I mean, I'm telling Tony, you know, it's crazy. You know, I grew up, there was certainly playoff football in December, lots of it. Boggs, Super Bowl was usually like early January, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Back yeah, usually like I think mid to early January.
Mid or something like that. Yeah. You know, it's obviously moved back a lot later now. Baltimore quarterback Johnny Unitas in 1960 on this date failed to throw a touchdown pass in a 10-3 loss to Los Angeles. Why was that significant? Well, it snapped his NFL record streak of 47 consecutive games with a scoring pass. On this date in 1993, the 59th Heisman Trophy was awarded to Charlie Ward of Florida State. Famous birthdays for this date, just a trio right here. Eric Rett, the former Gator running back by way of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He played a couple of years with Baltimore and one with Cleveland in the NFL as well. Was born in the state in 1970. He's 47 years old. Willie McGinnis, three Super Bowl championships and about 10 times that many F-bombs. The last time on live television, the last time the Patriots won a Super Bowl, a two-time Pro Bowler, Willie McGinnis, born in the state in 1971. And in 1974, Kevin Devine, a former cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, was born. Happy 43rd to him. Remember Kevin Devine?
No.
Late 90s. Played with him. There you go. He didn't start any games.
Well,
I checked,
you dug deep for that one.
I just go through, and if I find a former Jaguar, that's what I go with. I throw him in there. Foundation Professionals of Florida is the full-service company. If you have any issues with your home's foundation, the engineers and specialists there will take care of you, and you need to know the symptoms if you have exterior and interior wall cracks at your house, windows and doors are sticking, foundation cracks, sloping floors. These could be symptoms of a larger problem. Let the pros at Foundation Professionals of Florida give you peace of mind that your home is safe, fully licensed and insured. Call 287-2690. That's 287-2690 or visit foundationprosfl.com online. That was this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Well, we all know the big NFL news coming out of yesterday's action. It's your first-place Jaguars getting the biggest win for the franchise since 2007. And don't let the way everyone outside of Jacksonville is going to talk about the insanity at the end distract you from the bottom-line truth of Sunday, December 10th. Your first-place Jaguars took it to the Seattle Seahawks, got to 9-4 on the season. Now, outside of that, the big news is Philadelphia quarterback Carson Wentz, who was pulled out of the Eagles' victory in Los Angeles yesterday with an apparent knee injury. The team hasn't confirmed anything yet, as Wentz is set to undergo more tests today, but the fear is a torn ACL for the league MVP candidate. With the win, the Eagles move into sole possession of the one seed in the NFC at 11-2 on the season, a game clear of the Minnesota Vikings at 10-3. Houston quarterback Tom Savage was seen on the ground with his hands twitching after a hit yesterday. Savage came to the sideline, was reportedly cleared to return by the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant. Savage re-entered the game for a series and then was removed from the game after that series, and he was tested again. Bill O'Brien, the head coach, said afterwards, "They made the determination he was okay, not me. Obviously, the evaluators made the determination to put him back in the game. He went back into the game and came out, and they evaluated him a little bit more, and just because of what they saw, whatever the evaluators see and the testing that they do, they try to make the best decision with the player, and they weren't satisfied with the result of the second test. So they decided to pull him, and that's when he went into the locker room. The Texans are expected to be starting quarterback T.J. Yates against the Jaguars this Sunday at the bank. I'm sure the NFL is going to have a little bit more to say about how this was handled.
They call it fencing arms when your arm, when you get a brain injury. I read about it this morning, you know, and your arms go out in an awkward pose. Oftentimes, one is pointing forward and the other one's kind of back. Both his arms were pointing forward, but they said every time it happens, it is a direct sign of a brain injury. Mm-hmm. So any test he passed after that should have been moot.
We call it the stiff arms. It doesn't, you know, you're talking about two arms in different positions. A lot of times they're in the same position, you know, almost like, but they're stiff, you know, and that's definitely a very clear sign of a head injury from my experience of watching guys for a long time.
Tony, anything else there?
That's it.
All right, let me just read this statement from the Jaguars. This is courtesy of Jenna Bourne from CBS 47 and Fox 30 via Twitter at Jenna ANJ. Statement from the Jags after fans throw items at a Seahawks player. Quote, "The Jaguars and SMG take the game experience of fans and players very seriously and are taking time to carefully examine the incident. We will provide an update over once any decisions have been made," end quote. So they're looking into this further. Jeff, I spoke my piece last night, but just to, you know, I don't want to belabor this because I don't think three objects coming out of the stands, which is what I believe was the sum total of it, should reflect on the 64,000 plus others who did nothing but cheer their team on to victory yesterday. But I do not care what transpires on the field within a certain way. I mean, you know, come on, we can all come up with some scenario, but I'm talking about, you know, something like that. There's no reason. I don't care if it's a paper cup. You throw anything on the field. If I saw you and I worked for the Jags, you'd never have a ticket. You'd never come back to the stadium again.
Yeah, unacceptable. I mean, flat out unacceptable. I mean, it's look, yell at them all you want, boo them all you want, but just don't throw stuff. That's just not no place for that.
Right. They are, whatever happens between the lines, is it acceptable what the Seahawks did? No, that's not acceptable either, but they'll be dealt with, right? I mean, there are methods in place. A guy got thrown out of the game. He may get suspended, may get fined, whatever. There are punishments that come. One of them should not be to have a projectile fired at your head. What if you hit the guy in the eye? Like Orlando Brown with the ref's flag, right?
Well, I mean, Jaguars have been a part of that. I mean, the bottle game in Cleveland
absolutely.
Years ago. I mean, and that's unacceptable as well.
Oh, by the way, as somebody pointed out last night, just the name just went out of my head. The linebacker for the 49ers, who got
Navarro Bowman.
Navarro Bowman, when he got hurt in Seattle, they threw trash at him as he was being being carted off the field. So Seattle fans who want to be high and mighty today on social media, you might want to remind them of their own history of objects flying onto the gridiron. All right, let's see where we're at right now. Let's go back to the phone lines, I believe. And where are we going, Tyler? Give me the next one. All right, PJ on the west side, next up on Jaguars Today. Hello, PJ.
How do you do? Listen, I woke up last night into 1 o'clock waiting to see some video footage of Jacksonville beating Seattle. None. They showed other teams leaving, but because it was Jacksonville, there was none. Now listen, they did this to us 10 years ago. You can't sit back and let them treat us like we're the Roger your feel of the NFL. Come on. We need some respect. I'm out of here.
All right, thanks. I mean, you say we can't sit back and let them do it. Should we storm the office? I mean,
what are you going to do?
They're going to do what they're going to do. I don't care what they show.
As soon as a fan threw something at a player, if you didn't think that was going to be the story, you're nuts. I mean, that's what the story was going to be.
By the way, if just something flew by his head, it would have been a note. When he started to climb up in the stands,
no doubt.
Big news.
That took it to the whole Malice in the Palace incident level.
You look at the highlights of every game, I mean, whether it be ESPN or NFL Network or Fox or NBC, you know, Sports Night in America, whatever it is, I mean, they have a certain limited amount of time to dedicate to each game. And because of what happened at the end of the game, that becomes the story of the game and not the game itself. And that's natural. I mean, you got, you know, small amount of time to dedicate. So, but, you know, look, fine. You know, keep flying under the radar and not getting the game exposure because, you know what, there's a lot of games left to be played in December. And you know what, if you get in the playoffs, guess what? Everybody's going to see you play and everybody's going to see it no matter what.
You know what you worry about when you worry about that? When you're in college, when it's a popularity contest, your record, nobody has to like what your record is. Nobody has to respect it, but they have to let you move on. And
you're 9-4. Let them say whatever the heck they want to or not say about you.
Say anything you want. First place Jags. That's what we say.
Which is why this is a victory lap today, and we're not talking about that as much as maybe some national shows.
Right. Let's get Tim on the west side next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Tim.
Morning, gentlemen. Hey,
what's up?
We were at the game last night, and I didn't know if Jeff, you had a chance to, or anyone had a chance to check the national media tape or whatever, but I wonder if they were talking about us, the holding, the way Seattle was holding as much as what we were seeing. And we're not, you know, we're just fans up there looking at the stands. But my son and I were sitting there, we're just going crazy because, I mean, it was like, seemed like every series there was a hold or two. But, I mean, the guy's arm is going across the, you know, the defensive guy's chest. It's not like the legal type holding, you know, everybody does it. But, I mean,
yeah, you're talking about in pass protection mainly.
Yeah,
there were a couple instances that should have been called, and there were some instances also that could have been called against the Jaguars. You know, late in the game, you know, Aaron Colvin
basically tackled Paul Richardson.
You know, that could have been called.
Look, so could the one on Marquise Lee on third down when he clearly got interfered.
Yeah,
with.
And I went back and I watched that because I made that comment too in the game. And when you watch the tape, the collision actually happens within 5 yards and before the ball is out of the quarterback.
Oh, is it before it's out of his hands? Okay, yeah. Then maybe I'm wrong about that.
So, but the push off by Doug Baldwin on the bobble catch going out of bounds, I mean, he pushes off of Paul Posluszny and extends his arm. That could have been called. You know, so, I mean, it kind of goes both ways. I don't think it was, you know, called unfairly one way or the other.
I mean, Colvin pretty clearly grabbed Paul Richardson
after
he fell down. I mean, they didn't call that either.
Right, you had the one Russell Wilson on 3rd and 9 deep in their own end when he was able to run for a first down. Watch the replay, and someone's got Calais Campbell all the way across the chest with the big handful of jersey right there, right next to Wilson. What else the referee is looking at, I have no idea. But
Linder, I mean, he got the call on the screenplay that ended up backing him up to a 1st and 15, and that's why when Fournette ripped off that big long run to convert the first down after that, you know, I mean, that you know, was kind of a debatable call on that. But, you know, look, I don't think it was called unfairly one way or the other.
All right, we got to take a quick timeout. We'll be back with more of your calls at 641-1010 on a Vaseo Victory Monday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here, Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yeah, I mean, it felt kind of like what you think about when you think about meaningful December football. You know, I think that's what it was. You know, it's a playoff-type atmosphere. against a good team, you know, under the lights in front of your home crowd. You know, there's not a whole lot more you can ask for. So to go out there and be able to perform like that in front of Jacksonville in our stadium was pretty special.
It was exciting. The crowd showed up big, you know. I mean, that place was rocking. You just get the feeling. You know, we feed off the energy as a defender. When the crowd's walking like that, I mean, we feed off that. That's huge.
First sellout in a long time for the Jags, over 64,000. And, you know, look, fans are going to do what they want to do. I would just say this. I was happy because how many times, Tony, in recent years have we heard, man, why would I go? They don't even play an exciting brand of football. You got two different styles of football. You got the knuckle bust in 3-0 first half,
yeah.
Right? And then you got the let's go up and down the field and we can outscore you and we can do it that way as well. What a fun game, right? This is when I said it before the game. I would have rather have been in the stands than in the studio.
Well, and then when the game was over, it wasn't. You know what I mean? As far as, you know, the excitement or things to watch, you know, with the garbage stuff.
The extracurricular.
Yeah.
Yes. So it was a great atmosphere. Here's what I'd say. Look, if you can make it, come to the Houston game. It's the last home game of the regular season. You'll have the holidays off to watch the Jags at your leisure on TV, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. Come pack it out against the Texans. This is a vital game. This is a more important game coming up than the Seahawks game
was. An opportunity to get a second sweep of a division opponent.
And bolster your AFC South record if it comes down to it, you know. I don't think it's going to come down to it. I think the Jags win out. And you know what? I know Doug Marrone said to the team, people are going to try to put you in a position you don't want to be in.
There you go, Mike.
I don't care.
See?
They're not listening to the show.
Can't believe you, Mike.
You know what? I think they're going to win out at this point in time. And they're what are they, like an 11-point favorite against Houston
something
already?
Something like that, yeah.
You know, San Fran on the road, I'm not going to say you just show up and beat them because they came to play yesterday. They're
Two wins in a row.
New team with Jimmy Garoppolo, and it's a long trip out to the West Coast. You're a better team than the San Francisco 49ers, and you're certainly a better team at this point in time than the Tennessee Titans are, in my opinion. You know, Tennessee's been escaping
be
by the skin of their teeth.
Be a great game.
You know, but I think that's the position they're in, and that would be my expectation. But, you know, your last chance, celebrate what looks to be, you know, a pretty winnable matchup coming up next Sunday here at the bank for the final one of the regular season. Let's get our buddy Paul Fraze, a former teammate of yours, Logs, on the line right now before we open it back up to the wide world of phone callers. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Hey, great to talk with you guys. It sounds like everybody's doing very well after a big win.
Absolutely. What's on your mind, buddy?
I wanted to chime in on obviously, there's no place for fans throwing anything at players coming off the field. But, Loggeman, I wanted to ask you, do you remember when we were with the Jets playing up in Buffalo? And, of course, when we played against them in 96, do you remember they had that canvas tarp over the tunnel because people used to pour beers on the players and throw stuff at them coming out? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they had a tarp over the top of the tunnel, but it wasn't just there. I mean, I remember multiple times, and Paul can attest to this, you know, when it was snowing in Buffalo, there were snowballs flying all over the place, from the stands down to the sideline, and also there was one time we were leaving, and our bus was pelted with snowballs. I mean, it just didn't end, but, you know, you're
that,
like,
that to me,
Paul,
I don't think a bus with snowballs doesn't really bother me.
Well, hang on, Jeff. You may have forgotten. They weren't snowballs. They were beer bottles.
They were ice balls.
Well, that's a different story.
Well, a lot of them were ice balls.
But, yeah, no, you're right. You're right. But my very first game ever was in Cleveland. And, Jeff, it was, you were still at Virginia. The fake orange and blue. Syracuse, as you know, is the real orange and blue. But we warmed up as a defensive line in the dog pound, and it was the year after Gastineau hit Bernie Kosar on the final drive, and the fans in Cleveland hated Mark Gastineau. They were pinging us pregame with the milkbone dog bones.
Well,
I mean, they were trying to throw beer on
there as well. In my first year, because it was my first start ever at Cleveland, and that was 1989, and got pelted with dog bones.
I mean, oh yeah! Look, it's not like the few that threw stuff yesterday were the first that have ever done it.
No.
It's just that I mean I think we're at a point now.
No place
like,
for it.
Right? There just isn't. Paul, enjoy that victory, buddy, and I'm sure several more to come. Thanks for the call this morning.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
All right, pal. Let's head out to the north side. I think Ian is up next here on Jaguars today. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Doing great, guys. So this weekend I was doing my Pro Bowl voting, which I think every Jags fan needs to get out there and do. We actually got some players up for it. But on offense, we only have one player that looks like he's going to make it, That's the fullback, Tommy Bohannon. The past few years, we haven't even had a fullback on the roster. I think he's really brought a lot to the run game. Yesterday, he met KJ Wright in the hole and turned the lights out on him, which was huge because they had just lost Wagner a couple plays beforehand. So my question
is, that was the second and 10 when they were backed up, by the way. That was a great block by Bohannon.
Yes, it was. So my question, Logs, is, A, do you like the fact that we brought the fullback back to the team? And B, as a defensive lineman, did you have a preference? It seems to me I would not want a big bruising fullback running through the hole before I had to try and meet that running back in the hole. So what's your opinion on that?
I mean, as a defensive lineman, I didn't really care whether there was a fullback or not. It was just the quality of the offense. I mean, heck, probably the most difficult team offensively that I ever faced was the Buffalo Bills back in the era of the K-Gun. You know, and they were 11 personnel, which was, you know, one running back, one tight end, three wides. And trying to handle Pete Metzlars with the zone scheme was a headache all day long. But, you know, it was very smart that the Jaguars brought a fullback because, you know, that's what Fournette has done for a long period of time at LSU, and he was used to following a guy in the hole. And if you're going to be a running football team, you've got to have a fullback that's a very good one. And Tommy Bohannon, I don't think, gets enough credit. He's done a great job all year long. In fact, three of the runs that I will be showing this week on Jaguars programming will have Tommy Bohannon in it. He was a big part of their success yesterday. He's done a very good job. I think there was one play that, you know, that he would probably like to have back in the ball game, but it was kind of a wasn't really necessarily his fault. He just kind of tracked to the linebacker in the wrong hole. But, I mean, very solid job, very dependable. It has made some plays in the passing game as well that have been nice and a good addition. And most importantly, a good addition because that's the style that Leonard Fournette has run in the past, and it's where he's comfortable at.
By the way, I don't think Leonard Fournette's surely not making the Pro Bowl,
He could. You know what? And the best part about his performance yesterday is, you know, you started to see some of the power back, you know, because in the previous four games that he had, you know, there were a lot of guys that brought him down with one tackle, you know, and the stats really kind of tell that story because in the first six games, he actually forced 25 missed tackles. And then the previous four games prior to yesterday, he only forced six missed tackles. But we saw him break tackles yesterday. So that's a real positive sign for this running game and this offense going forward here in December.
Currently seventh in the league in rushing, third in the AFC, although now they don't really – Pro Bowl voting is Pro Bowl voting, and they split it up, and it's not always divided right down the AFC-NFC lines anymore.
Third in touchdowns, too.
Third in touchdowns for running backs.
The Jags haven't had that in a long time.
Absolutely. And, look, Le'Veon Bell's a better player, okay? But Le'Veon Bell's averaging 3.9 yards a carry. Leonard Fournette's averaging 4. I know there's a number of guys averaging over 4 yards a carry. I'm just saying, for people to say that's going to hold him back, Ezekiel Elliott's averaging 4.1 yards per carry this year in the games that he's played behind, granted, only 60% of what their offensive line was last year in terms of the same starters, but still, you're talking about three Pro Bowlers on that offensive line in Dallas. So, you know, Leonard Fournette's still got a shot. So, Jaguars.com/Pro Bowl and get out the boat. Let's get back
to
the line.
Give me a Super Bowl over a Pro Bowl.
Oh, absolutely.
Any day of the
week. Oh, but yeah. No, we want a bunch of Jaguars mentioned for not being able to attend the Pro Bowl in Orlando the week before the Super Bowl. That's what we want. Tony and I are already going to Minnesota. All these Johnny come lately are going to be scrambling to come up with their credentials. We're going regardless. So, we'll see what happens. Let's get to Carlos on the north side next. Hi, Carlos.
How you doing?
Good. Yeah, we can barely hear you. Speak up, please.
Can you hear me better than that?
Nah, I tell you, let's put him on hold. Let's try Terrence. Sorry, Carlos, your phone just wasn't connected very well. Terrence, our good friend, how are you, sir?
Hey, Mike, Fat Tony, and Jeff. Hey, I just want to call and talk about the experience. This is the best experience I had yesterday. As a Jaguar fan, I got a ticket at the last minute and just enjoyed it. I mean, even after the game, we're at the back with the D line just jamming, man. I mean, it's great. It is so great, man. So I think the day should just be about the victory. And then starting tomorrow, we can talk about what they didn't do and what they did do tomorrow. I mean, first place. Guys, we can't beat this. Come on.
I don't know what you think we've been talking about, Terrence, but okay, we're glad you're happy. Let's put it that way. Let's get Charles out in Fresno, California, checking in. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Jeff. How you guys doing this morning?
We're great. Good. What's up?
I was just calling to say you guys are doing the game balls today, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give 3 game balls. 1 to A.J. Bouye. Amazing game yesterday. 1 to D.D. Westbrook. And 1 to Blake Bortles. All of them played outstanding yesterday.
I'm not going to argue with that. Those wouldn't be my 3. 2 of those 3 would be mine. But I think, Jeff, we got a lot of strong candidates, right?
I got 5 game balls, and it goes to the offensive line.
See, I'm giving 1 game ball to the offensive line. That's how I'm doing it.
I was going to ask you who the two worst performers were on the offensive line, and those are the 2 that don't get the game ball.
There's like only 4 panels on the ball. You can't take it apart. You know, somebody's going to be shy. And
that's why I'm giving the collective game ball to the offensive line.
Somebody gets handed the laces.
Somebody can get the laces.
That's right.
Exactly.
So you got all
good
5.
Job, Tony.
All right. Charles, thank you. We appreciate that. Let's get Mike in. We got Carlos back. All right. Carlos on the north side. Go ahead, Carlos.
Hey, can you hear me better now?
Yes, we can.
Hey, I called in just to talk about, after the game was pretty much over, what I was saying was I don't excuse what the fans did, but however, Seattle started it out on the field. And for them to be a championship caliber team, they've been in victory formation themselves, so they should have just let the game be over like you're supposed to.
Yeah, look, 2 wrongs don't make a right. I mean, both sides can be wrong here, right? The Seattle Seahawks were wrong for their behavior on the field. The Jag fans, the few who threw something, were wrong as well. And I know that I saw some Jags apologists, very few last night on social media, some indicating that this is what players sign up for. They understand it's part of the job or should. Are you crazy?
No, that's not cool.
That's stupid. I mean, it's not part of the job to have something thrown at you from the stands. So, you know, whatever.
Maybe this should make popcorn throwing legal. You know?
Yeah, see, it doesn't go that far, yeah. Right? You know, you're probably just going to tick off the guy
like
in front
the
of you.
Like the foam brick for your TV, you know?
By the way, Tony, you see the guy with the handshake on the TV feed? I don't know if it was on the TV or just in the in-game. It looked like somebody must have done, like 2 Jag fans, mm-hmm. and the one guy tapped the guy in front on the shoulder. I don't know what point this was. JP and I noticed it were like, he must have done something. He must have spilled something on the guy, or he must have bumped him or done something. He goes, hey, man. And he shook it out. And the guy who was sitting in front of him didn't look like he wanted any part of it, but I think he shook his hand, and on we went with that. All right, we got to take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll go give out and dissect who is worthy of game balls. Look at some of your nominations today as well in that capacity. Viseo brings you the show every Monday, a new company launching nationwide with healthy, all-natural products using an advanced delivery technology and trying to corner the health market. We'll tell you more about them as we go along, but a Viseo Victory Monday always sounds sweet. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Jeff Loggeman here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Mercedes Lewis, and this is Jaguars Today live from Everbank Field.
2 right, 1 left, shotgun. Play fake. Bortles drops, steps up, fires deep down the middle of the field. He's got a receiver out there. Keelan Cole with the catch. Inside the 30, the 20, the 15, inside the 5. Keelan Cole, touchdown. How's that for an answer? 75-yard touchdown pass from Blake Bortles to Keelan Cole.
It's kind of funny because we ripped it a couple times during the week, and I think it was actually the first play of practice on Wednesday. I threw a pick on it, and we kind of changed up the read on it and said, we're going to throw this ball to Keelan no matter what. If it's not open, check it down. And he ran an unbelievable route and obviously ran away from everybody.
That's Blake Bortles on the picture-perfect pass to Keelan Cole to respond to 10 unanswered points by the Seattle Seahawks logs.
Be breaking that play down tonight on Jaguars All Access in the film room.
That'll be a lot of fun. Doesn't always work out in practice, but it worked out in the game this time. So, boy, think back to Blake. What did he have, a 5 interception night in training camp out of practice?
Yeah.
Right? And that was, it was the end. Look, we weren't making it up. Chad Henne had a chance to assert himself in a 3rd preseason game. Blake has come a long way since where things were. So has that offensive line. This team as a whole has come a long way and has a chance. If they win out, they'll have won more games this year than they've won in the last 3 seasons combined.
Yeah, and look, they're doing a great job. And I'm going to go back again and toot the horn of the offensive line. Pat Flaherty has done a great job with that offensive line. Blake Bortles, I think, really, I don't want to put all the credit on the offensive line because, I mean, Blake, when you're in the pocket and you got a clean pocket, you still got to make a tough throw. Now, like that deep ball to Keelan, I mean, that was beautiful. And it was a great catch, too. Now, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of room for error there. And because he hit him in stride, Keelan was able to finish the play in the end zone because, you know, if that ball's just a little off one way or the other and he still makes the catch, he slows down and then Earl Thomas is able to make a tackle short of the end zone. So, I mean, perfect timing, perfect delivery.
Let me just highlight as well, Lux, as we hop around here quickly in the final few minutes we have. This is from a Seattle Times column today by Matt Calkins, who's a columnist up there in the Pacific Northwest. And the headline is, "Sore Losers." That's too soft a label for how the Seahawks reacted at the end of Jags' loss. And I'll read you just a section from the middle of this column. It started when Jacksonville was in victory formation. Defensive end Michael Bennett dived into Jaguar center Brandon Linder's legs. Worse, when a scuffle ensued after the play, Bennett again went after Linder, this time rolling into his legs and taking him down. This wasn't mere gamesmanship. This was Bennett, the Seahawks nominee for the 2017 Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, throwing a cheap shot that could have torn Linder's ACL. Remember the Seahawks home game versus Atlanta last year, they continue. Remember when Jake Matthews took Bennett down with a cut block that caused him to leave the game with a knee injury? Bennett said the play was dirty and called it a scary bleeping move. In fact, I think, do we have the audio of this, Tyler? We don't. Okay, I thought for some, Tony, do we have the quote from Bennett from last year?
Yeah, I can pull up the quote.
All right, well, basically, he said it was a scary bleeping move, and when asked about his own scary move Sunday, he had a different tone. Quote, "I don't have to explain myself." Yeah.
Well, you know, he kind of plays the game. Look, he's a good football player, but, you know, watching him kind of over the last couple of weeks, and particularly in this game, I thought he played the game like a baby. There was a couple times, you know, because Michael Bennett doesn't like to get blocked. Nobody likes to get blocked, but he does things at the end of the play when he's getting blocked that are just uncalled for. There was one particular play where Mercedes is blocking him and blocking him through the whistle. I mean, totally fine, not even close to the whistle. And he grabs the back of the helmet of Mercedes and tries to bury him down into the turf. Now, that's not a legal play. You can't grab the back of somebody's helmet and try to throw him down and face plant him into the ground. He also took another shot at one of the offensive linemen after the play. It's like he doesn't want to get touched, you know, or get blocked to the whistle. I mean, come on. It's football.
Exactly.
Play the game.
All right. So your game balls, you get three, are going to the offensive line to be carved up in whatever fashion necessary.
No, I mean, look, there was a lot of good performances. I mean, the offensive line to me really stood out. Blake played a great, great game, his best win ever in his career, in my opinion. Paul Posluszny played great. A.J. Boye played great. You know, and I don't want to discount and go over Paul Posluszny without mentioning, you know, he had to play a lot because of Telvin Smith injury. And we were watching that injury, you know, the inactives list, very closely prior to the game, hoping that Telvin Smith would be there to have his speed on the field. And Paul Posluszny picked up where he left off the previous week and had a fantastic game.
Quickly, I heard Tony Boselli say this morning, because people were saying, well, you know, Jags are getting out schemed if you got Paul Posluszny in coverage. Under certain coverage, when you're in zone and you got three receivers to one side, the inside linebacker's got to cover the inside receiver
covering
and run
three.
With him down the field.
Covering three.
Okay, and normally that's Telvin Smith. And when you know I'm Telvin Smith, you got to make the most of it. And Paul Posluszny was not in bad position. He got pushed off on the Doug Baldwin reception. So,
believe it or not, that's the same exact coverage that Keelan Cole scored his touchdown.
No doubt, because he came all the way from the right side of the formation.
Same route, but also the same coverage, because in that touchdown to Keelan Cole, it was K.J. Wright.
Yeah, K.J. Wright was chasing, and
that's
Earl
correct.
Thomas just couldn't quite get there.
Earl Thomas didn't think a subpar quarterback could get
him
the ball.
Messed up.
Yeah.
Tony? Subpar quarterback found the ball.
Three-game balls. Who are you giving him to?
I mean, it's hard not to give one to Blake. With the performance yesterday, if I could give one in the whole offensive line, I would. But A.J. Boye, and you know what? Just because no one's mentioned the guy, he was 1.5 yards away from getting another family $100,000 for a mortgage.
Oh, I mean, Jadon
it was a yard away
Jadon.
For Mickens yesterday again. I mean, and it was part of that whole thing where we're talking about, you know, you had the kind of the play with Baldwin and the field goal and then the fumble for Corey. And it feels like it's all going that way that we've seen it go for Seattle. For the past decade, it feels like just opportunities being created out of thin air for the Seahawks. And then they hit the big play, and then they force the punt, and it's like, oh, my goodness. they're turning it on.
Right.
The Seattle team all of a sudden in this moment, and it became kind of an avalanche there, a mini avalanche for about 10 minutes of that football game, though it's so much fun to watch. So just because he hadn't gotten a whole lot of love yet, I'll give it to Mickens.
There are plenty. Lambeau could get a game ball. Fournette can get a game ball. Bohanna could get a game ball. A lot of game balls to go around. I gave mine to Bortles, to Boye, and I'm giving one collectively to the offensive line. You can divvy them up anyway.
Here's another thought. I mean, if you're talking about three game balls, how about Doug Marrone, Tom Coughlin, and Dave Caldwell?
Why not?
All right.
Those guys, where this football team is at.
I haven't heard many calls for Caldwell to be fired lately. Not expecting a whole lot.
No.
Heading into
pretty good
deeper
now.
Into December.
I mean, winning season, you know, 9 wins, first place in the division, and to see where they are and where they were.
And to see the core of talent that, in large part, Dave Caldwell brought together over the last few years and added to this year, no mm-hmm. question about it. They all get credit. No one's saying he above this. They're all getting credit. Everybody deserves credit. It's fine. It's a team thing. Special teams, offense, defense, right? They all going to work together. These three guys are working together and working very well. Like the three guys on the Midday Chalk.
Now, the 2-Minute Drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Schedule your holiday party catering today and get a $5 Moe buck for everyone in your party. Order online at moescateringfl.com.
Yes, Brooke Maher, patting myself on the back for that segue. As a matter of fact, T-Wig is back from Philadelphia. He went to Army-Navy, which was a great game this weekend. And then, of course, back for the Jags and on the fifth quarter last night. Listen to you on the way home, Wig. What a fun one that was, huh?
It was a lot of fun, man. It capped off a very good football weekend. It smells like winning around here, man. And you haven't had this feeling or smelled that smell in a long time. There's a lot of people walking around with their chest stuck out, and they rightfully so should. The Jaguars are a really, really tough, physical football team, and I got to give a lot of credit to that offensive line yesterday because they really, really protected against a front that I think is really pretty good.
Hey, T-Wig, I just wanted to chime in because kudos to the Midday Chalk on Friday. I thoroughly enjoyed your guys' show from the Army-Navy game. Great guests, great interviews. Great job overall.
Oh, man, I thank you. Jeff, to be honest, it was kind of easy. The USAA really set us up and kept bringing us guests. General Pete Dawkins, Army, won a Heisman Trophy. That was probably the highlight for me, man. I would suggest that anybody go and look up his bio. I've never seen one person accomplish so many different things in their lifetime, man. And then I looked up and he was on the stage when they gave Baker Mayfield a trophy. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was very cool because I can tell you guys got me interested in Saturday on the couch. Army-Navy game, watched it in its entirety, and it was awesome.
That was some drama, man.
Saturday was the wife's birthday, and we spent that day walking around in Yankee paraphernalia.
That's the first college game I've watched all year.
Is it really?
From beginning to end.
Wow.
The first one, yeah.
Wow. All right, Wig, what do you guys have coming up on the Midday Chalk today?
Well, in the first hour, man, right at the bottom of the 12 o'clock hour, John Clayton in studio of ESPN 710 in Seattle, of course, and of ESPN, period. We knew him as one of the top guys in sports of talking about football and all of that business. So we'll have him on. We'll get his takes on what happened yesterday and then try to see what the national perception is of the Jaguars and if that'll ever change.
You know what? It's a beautiful thing. Whether they perceive him or not, the Jaguars are coming to punch you in the face, metaphorically, of course. Mm-hmm. All right, Wig, have a great show today, buddy.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, T-Wig along with Joe C. and Rick Ballew coming up on the Midday Chalk.
Hey, one thing I want to mention before we get out of here, because Malik Jackson, who going into that game with 6 sacks, was third amongst the defensive tackles in the National Football League, added another sack. When you're talking about an interior pass rusher that's approaching double digits because now he has 7, you're an elite player. He is coming on, and he is coming on strong. Fantastic game by him. Wanted to mention that. And we have obviously given a lot of credit to Calais Campbell for breaking the single-season sack record. Hold on.
Unique is coming.
There's 3 games to go.
Right.
There's somebody else that's coming.
Have a little internal competition. Be fine. And, oh, by the way, as you are also penciling in Calais Campbell for the Jags Defensive Player of the Year, here comes A.J. Boye on the outside as well. Isn't this a beautiful thing? I mean, look, in the end, it doesn't matter, right? Those kind of things. What matters is the wins and how far this team can go in the postseason, because It's a mortal lock that they're going right now. They'd have to lose out and have a billion things happen for them to not go. So they're going to the playoffs. The question is how deep they're going in the playoffs. And whoever gets the credit, they'll all get the credit, ultimately, right? Let's hoist the Lombardi Trophy. Who says you have to wait your turn, right? Could be their turn right now.
Never know.
Dream big, man. Why not? If you're a Jag fan, you should dream big, Logs. There's no team that they can't beat in the NFL. Doesn't mean they are guaranteed to beat any team that
That's
they
right.
line up of. But there's no team that you say, absolutely not.
Well, we
can't match up with that team.
A couple weeks ago about, you know, and I said about how, you know, I think that this team matches up favorably against the New England Patriots, maybe better than anybody in the league. I mean, and I still believe that because of the way that they play defense and their ability to play the passing game, which they are now still the number one ranked defense in the pass in the National Football League. By the way, they did drop one spot. They're now the number two total defense ranking-wise in the National Football League. Denver took it over.
We'll live. You know what?
Fine.
Something is something to play
win,
for next week.
Who cares?
We'll live. There goes Jeff Loggeman. Where are we going to catch you tonight and the rest of the week?
Jaguars All Access tonight, 7 o'clock, Mellow Mushroom, and then various Jaguar production, film room Friday,
you know
all
where
that.
To find
and then Thursday, yeah. The whole,
out in the woods somewhere
stuff.
This
yeah.
week, too,
oh,
I
yeah.
have a feeling.
Yeah,
all right.
Sneak
well,
a little bit of that in.
Good hunting to you,
thank
sir.
You.
Fat Tony, you and I back here tomorrow.
Yep.
Johnny O will join us as we flip the script with John and Jeff this week. So that does it for us. Thanks to all of you out there in Radio Land. Thanks to our friends at Vaseo. Vaseo Victory Monday wrapping up right here. And it couldn't have been better as the Jags improve now to 9-4 on the season. You want to find out more about Vaseo? Call 993-7491. Ask Rassandra. Get a no-obligation consultation on how you can start your own Vaseo company today, a brand-new company launching nationwide with healthy, all-natural products. Check them out. They bring you the show every Monday, Vaseo Victory Monday. For Fat Tony, for Jeff Loggeman, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. Stick around. The Midday Chalk is next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
People aren't used to getting beat like that by the Jaguars, you know, and I think there's no reason to take anything from anybody. You know, we just beat the crap out of you for 60 minutes.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go. 2-0.